Good morning, everyone. Can I ask everyone to make sure that their mobile phone is switched off or on silent mode so that it doesn't disturb the class or the recording? We are reading in Book 10, the Book of the Double Twilight, Canto 4, the dream twilight of the earthly ideal. Real, the earthly real, thank you. And we had actually read to the bottom of 653, so we'll go on from the top of page 654. We had come to the top of page 54, 654. But first, before moving on, I would like to reread the bottom of page 653, Savitri's definition of freedom. It starts on line 446. This is what Savitri is speaking to Death. He's invited her to gain freedom by dissolving her individuality, merging back into the peace that he is offering. Savitri has a different understanding of the meaning of the word freedom. Freedom is this: with ever-seated soul, large in life's limits, strong in matter's knots, building great stuff of action from the worlds, to make fine wisdom from coarse scattered strands, and love and beauty out of war and night, the wager wonderful, the gain divine. What liberty has the soul which feels not free unless stripped bare and cannot kiss the bonds the lover winds around his playmate's limbs, choosing his tyranny, crushed in his embrace, to seize him better with her boundless heart, she accepts the limiting circle of his arms, bows full of bliss beneath his mastering hands, and laughs in his rich constraints, most bound, most free. This is my answer to thy lures, O Death. Would anybody like to ask anything about these words or share anything about these lines? Choosing his tyranny, crushed in his embrace. Yeah, this is the soul here, and Sri Aurobindo is saying the soul which is truly free will be able to kiss, to embrace and delight in all the bondages and limitations which the lover winds around it. No? And she will choose his tyranny. A tyrant is an absolute ruler, a despot. So actually the soul longs to be tyrannized by the lover, by the Lord. No? She accepts that in her freedom. She delights to be crushed in his embrace. She accepts that in order to be able to love him better, to love him more integrally with her boundless heart. And she's full of bliss when she bows in subjection to his mastering hands. Yes, what did you want to ask? Yes, of integral surrender. Yes, yes.
I think it describes also to be able to do the work, the divine work, and because of the contradiction on the earth are so strong, so we have to get what is the will of the divine, not to the normal thinking of men.
But if we notice ourselves, we feel all the time, oh, I'm having to do so much, and it's such a pressure, and it's so difficult, and like that, no? So to the extent that we feel like that, then we are not being willing servitors of the divine will. But still we have to have that discrimination to know what is the soul's choice, what the soul accepts, and what the lover, the Lord, is demanding. Yes? Just a moment. Are you all right without a cushion? You don't need a cushion? We are on page 653 at the bottom. Could you repeat your question, Taylor?
Is it connected to the word slave?
Yes.
Yes,
exactly. Yes, to be the slave of God is the greatest freedom. Yeah. Yes. And you don't have to make any more personal decisions. No. You just have to do what he tells you.
So now I would like to articulate my question, if it is clear.
Yeah.
See, our vital and mind are the tyrant rulers of our body. Our
yes,
body is a
they are the tyrants,
and,
yes.
And in presence of soul, but they are doing. Mm. But when soul accepts them altogether, whether they are tyrant or what, it loves them. It's correct. It is individually and personally like that. But in a collective life, some in a collectivity, people of different temperaments are also there. Some could be with their whatever the mood or whatever, they could appear as a tyrant, but at the same time, the person, if one lives in the psyche, then could also love them, and that is, does it mean so?
Yes, I think all the possibilities are there, but the difference is being ruled by our body, life and mind, and being ruled by the soul. And then if the soul sees that everything that's coming is coming from the divine lover, then it can accept everything joyfully with love. No? And then perhaps we can be a true slave of God. No? She, the soul.
Yes.
The soul is always feminine. I mean, in literature, it's like that.
Something just covered my brain. Yes.
So we can go on from there. Shall we start at the back today? Chico, would you like to start? Top of page 654.
No power of earth.
No, sorry. Page 654.
We have to read, yes?
We finished page 653.
Immutable. Death, denial, member cry. However, mighty, whatever thy secret name, utter the hidden complaints of the God. Thy heart, ephemeral, passion cannot break. The iron lamper of accomplished things with which the great God fends their camp in space. Whoever thou art behind the human mass, even if thou art the mother of the world.
Yes.
Thy claim upon the realm of chance. The cosmic law is greatest than even God himself obeys the laws he made. The law abides and never can it change. The person is a bubble on paradise sea.
Thank you. He's saying the cosmic law. Actually, maybe he means his law. The law, the laws of physics, the law of nature, the law of death. He says that's the way things are set up in the universe. And however great you are, if you are basing your claim on this world of where chance rules, still, the cosmic law, the law of the universe, is greater than your personal will.
It includes nature.
Yes. And he says even God himself obeys the laws he made in a way that is true. But what he says next is perhaps not so true. He says the law abides, it remains, and never can it change. And then he says the person, the individual person, is just a bubble on the sea of time. It will burst, it will pass. So your personal will cannot prevail against the universal will. Whoever you are, however mighty you are, whatever secret name you have, which the gods know, they mention it when they gather, when they have their meetings, conclave, it's when they gather together. The ephemeral passion, this passion which won't last long, which will pass very quickly, that passion of your human heart cannot break down this iron wall, this fortified wall, this rampart of accomplished things, of the things that have been done and decided and made in the universe. That's this rampart, this wall with which the great gods, the powers of the universe, the cosmic powers, they fence round, they protect their camp in space. You won't be able to break that down. The universal law is greater than thy will.
In the line says, even God himself obeys the law he made, but it comes to my mind a story where the Ayyappa, the Lord Ayyappa, was born between Shiva and Vishnu. Vishnu became a Mogini, and then Shiva impregnated Vishnu, and they didn't obey the law of the nature.
So I can't comment on these ancient legends, what they might mean. But it's very nice that these two gods are shown as creating something together, no? Isn't it? I think that's very nice.
In the evolution of consciousness, there's one law that it will always change, and will and nature's will. And when it get too fixed, then it's to break.
Sorry, could you repeat, Sudha?
This is indicating the transgender gender.
That the gods are not confined by any particular gender,
okay.
No?
Okay.
I think. Yes.
This, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Not limited by any particular gender.
Not limited in gender.
Yes.
Okay, that clarifies.
Yeah. When he says the mother of the world, then is he sarcastically saying or?
He's beginning to get some inkling of who Savitri is. No? Before he mentioned, you're filled with that great goddess that you prayed to in the woods before Satyavan died. He's feeling that she's under the influence and the protection of the mother of the worlds. Here he says, even if you are in fact yourself the mother, an embodiment of the mother of the worlds, still here, as long as you're in this world that I rule, this world that's subject to death, you have to follow the laws. He's wrong there, of course. She has come to break the laws and to change them. Shall we read on, Tom?
A foreigner of a great truth come, thy sole creator of a sphere law, vaunting the force behind on which it moves, a light above, which none but thou hast seen. Thou claimest the first fruits
Thank you. So here he is admitting something. No? He sees that, or he acknowledges Savitri as a forerunner, a person going in front, a being going in front, bringing or heralding a greater truth to come than the cosmic law. No? And your soul is the creator of its own law, its own freer law. You are vaunting, it's almost boasting, praising a force behind on which your soul is leaning. You're relying on some greater force and a light above which nobody has seen but you. You are the only one to have seen it. You are claiming right now the first fruits of truth's victory. When there is a victory of truth, it will have results. And you are claiming those results right away now, the first fruits. But he says, what is truth and where is it? Who can distinguish truth? Here, her form amid the specious images of sense, all these misleading appearances, all the dark ambiguities of a world that's peopled with the incertitudes of thought. We human beings live in an ambiguous world which is full of the ambiguities, the uncertainties, the things that we can't interpret for sure. It might mean this, might mean that, might mean something completely different. Where is truth? When have we heard even her footstep in all this endless clamor of the marketplace of time, the bazaar of time? And which one is the voice of truth amid all those thousand voices and cries that cross through our brains and cheat the soul? We don't know which one, if any of them, is giving us the truth. Tara, would you read?
Or is truth aught but a high starry moon, or a vague and splendid word by which man's thought sanctions and consecrates his nature's choice, the heart's wish, dawning knowledge as its robe, the cherished idea, elect among the elect, thought's favorite with the children of half light, who high-voiced crowd the playgrounds of the mind, till it's dramatized in infant sleep.
Thank you.
I don't remember you explained. Actually, we have to read a whole section, then we start again.
Oh, are we starting a new section now? Or were we just reading?
Yes, that was just last week.
Okay. So since we've read this, we'll look at it and then we'll read on. Thank you, Mihong.
I have a little doubt because if I take the Latin root and B is equivalent is 2.
2, yes.
Yeah. And I think he means that because look at the next one when he said,
yes, ambiguous. Ambiguous can mean it has two meanings.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we also use it to mean that we are not sure.
Exactly.
So there can be many meanings.
Some people are because of this say always that God is hanging between yes and no. There's the feeling that it's
yes, of course there are two big alternatives. Yes. Is truth anything but a high starry name? Maybe it doesn't really exist at all. Maybe it's just some vague, splendid word by which we give our stamp of sanction to what our nature feels is the truth, what we choose. The heart's wish, putting on this robe of true knowledge. Or it's our favorite idea, our cherished idea, elect among the elect, the chosen ideas. We choose our favorite idea and we say, that's the truth. Thoughts favorite, mid the children of half light, the children of ignorance, of twilight. There are so many of these pseudo-truths. They are like children in a playground, screaming and shouting at the play break, you know, crowding the play break, the playgrounds of the mind, or they're sleeping in the dormitories where the little children sleep. You know. So we can read on from there now. Very, very amazing sentence comes next. Okay. So where did we stop reading? Yes, okay. We started reading. At the break on page 649. But I'm sure that last time we stopped here at the bottom of 653. We were reading, but we stopped there.
Maybe we can read now 654 further on.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly. Okay. So, Reva, you start, please. Top of page 65. Bottom of page 654.
Yes.
Line 496. All things hang here.
All things hang here between God's eyes.
Yes.
God's yes and no. Two powers seem, but to each other untrue. Two consort stars in the moon night of mind. The tours two opposite origins gave. The white head and the black tail of the mystic spray. The swift and the lame foot, wing strong, wing broken. Sustaining the body of the uncertain world. A great serene dragon in the skies. Too dangerously die high, proud truth must live. Entangled in matters, mortal littleness. All in this world is true, at all these points. It stops into an eternal
cipher.
Cipher run, its beats swell to time's rounded zero sum. Does man yet want his animal and God? A desperate enigma of God's made, unable to free the Godhead's form within. A being less than himself, and something more. The aspiring animal, the frustrate God, yet neither beast nor deity but man. But man tied to the kind earth's level strives to exceed, claiming the space of God to higher things.
Thank you. Leila?
Objects are seemings, and none knows the truth. Ideas are guesses of an ignorant God. Truth has no home in her irrational breast. Yet, without reason, life is a tangle of dreams. But reason is poised above the dim abyss and stands at last upon a blank of doubt. Eternal truth lives not with mortal men. Or, if she dwells within thy mortal heart, show me the body of the living truth, and draw from me the outline of her face, that I too may obey and worship her. Then will I give thee back thy Satyam. But here are only facts, and still bound here. This truth I know, that Satyam is dead, and even thy sweetness cannot lure him back. No my truth can bring the dead to life. No power of earth cancel the thing once done. No joy of the heart can last surviving death. No bliss persuade the past to live again. But life alone can solace the mute void and fill with thought the emptiness of time. Leave then thy dead for solitude and live.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Kenge, will you read? Kenge?
Yes.
Kenge, will you read?
Leave them they dead, O Kakuru and Guru. The woman answers to the mind sound. And as she spoke, the sleepy mortality destroyed. How godless that voice, peaceful in her eyes, light came all through over heaven into her face. All this, thus to ask God and yet wind lay shadow on his head. As leaving the night, he passed the abode way, and they with him exclaimed
inconscient
thoughts. Of the unconscious thought, as without head. Of his ignorant thought, as ignorant thought, as without head. Of his ignorant thought, as the intense sign of its past. And brought one the natural child. All his impiety was in the spark.
Thank you. Will you read?
All contraries are aspects of God's face. Many are the innumerable one. The one carries the multitude in his breast. He is the impersonal, inscrutable soul. He is the one infinite power seeing his world. The silence bears the internal great dumb sea. His light inspires the eternal world. He is the immovable deep and deathless touch. His white and sightless negating calm, yet stands the Creator's self and Almighty Lord, and watches his wing run by the forms of thoughts, and the desire that holds half conscious men, and the reluctant and unseen light, extremes his inmost powers. On the right and left side of the body of God. Existence balanced fixed to two mighty arms, confront the mind with the unsolved abysm of God.
Thank you. Larry.
Darkness below, a fathomless light above. In light are joined, but sundered by severing mind, stand face to face, opposite, inseparable. Two contraries needed for his great world task. Two poles whose currents wake the immense world force. In the stupendous secrecy of his self, above the world, brooding with equal wings. He is both in one, beginningless, without end. Transcending both, he enters the absolute. His being is a mystery beyond mind. His ways bewilder mortal ignorance. The finite in its little sections part, amazed, credits not God's audacity, who dares to be the unimagined all, and see and act as might one infinite. Against human reason, this is his offense, being known to be forever unknowable, to be all, and yet transcend the mystic whole. Absolute, to lodge in a relative world of kind, eternal and all-knowing, to suffer both, omnipotent, to sport with chance and fate, spirit, yet to be matter and the void, illimitable, beyond form or name, to dwell within a body, one and supreme, to be animal and human and divine, a still, deep sea laughs in rolling waves. Universal, he is all transcendent, known.
Mm-hmm. Manasa Devi.
To man's righteousness, this is his cosmic crime. Almighty beyond good and evil to good. Leaving the good to their faith in a wicked world, and evil to rage in this enormous sea. All opposition seems and strife and travels, an aimless labor which God stands and sends, to eyes that see apart and miss the goal. The surface men stand, the depths refuse their spirit. A hybrid mystery challenges the view, or a discouraging sort of gravity. Yet in the exact increase in country starts consent, in the casual error of the world's ignorance, the plan, a hidden intelligence is blent. There is a purpose in each stumble and fall. Nature's most perilous learning repose, preparing some forward step, some deeper goal. Ingenious loads plunged into a water score. These millions discords dot the harmonious theme of the evolution's huge orchestral dance. A truth supreme has forced the world to be. It has wrapped itself in matter as in a shroud. A shroud of death, a shroud of ignorance. It compelled the suns to burn into a silent face. Plain signs of its uncomprehended thought. In a wide brooding ether's formless muse. It made of knowledge a vague and struggling life, of being a substance, meshing, dense and dumb, of bliss the beauty of an insentient world.
Thank you. Okay. Infinite
things, the conscious infinite world is in love, it sleeps in matter, helpless trance. It rules the world from its sleeping, senseless void. Dreaming, it throws our mind and heart and soul to labor crippled, bound on a hard earth. A broken bowl, it works through scattered points. Its gleaming shards are wisdom's diamond thoughts. Its shadowy reflex our ignorance. It starts from a mute mass and countless steps. It fashions a being out of brain and nerve, a sentient creature from the pleasures and pangs. A pack of feelings obscure a dot of sense. Survives a while answering the shocks of life. Land, crushed or its force bent, leaves the dead form, leaves the huge universe in which it lived. An insignificant, inconsidered guest, but the soul grows, conceals within its heart. It gives to the body strength and magnificence. It follows the ends in an ignorant, aimless world. It lends significance to us, meaningless life. A demigod animal became kim-thinking man. He wallows in mud that heavenward soars and thought. He plays and ponders. Laughs and weeps and dreams, satisfies his little longings like the beast. He pours upon life's book with student eyes.
Thank you.
Out of this tangle of intellect and sense, out of the narrow scope of finite thought, at last he wakes into spiritual mind. A high liberty begins and looms in. He glimpses eternity, touches the infinite. He meets the gods in great and sudden hours. He feels the universe as his larger self, makes space and time his opportunity to join the heights and depths of being and light. In the heart's cave, speaks secretly with God.
Thank you. Chitra.
Dared the love
above. I feel the breath around of mightier air, receive a vaster being's messages, and wave their demons intuitive way. On summit mind are radiant altitudes, exposed to the lustre of infinity, outskirts and dependencies of the house of truth, upraised estates of mind and measureless. There man can visit, but there he cannot live. A cosmic thought spreads out its vastitudes. Its smallest parts are here philosophies, challenging with their detailed immensity, each figuring an omniscient scheme of things. But higher still can climb the ascending light. There are vasts of vision and eternal suns, oceans of an immense luminousness, plain hills assaulting heaven with their peaks. There dwelling all becomes a blaze of sight. A burning head of vision leads the mind. Thought trails behind it its long comet tail. The heart glows and illuminate and sear, and senses kindle into identity. A highest flight climbs to an industry. In a wide opening of its native sky, intuitions, lightnings range in a bright path, hunting all hidden truths out of their lairs. Its fiery edge of seeing absolute cleaves into locked unknown retreats of self. The mages, the sky recesses of the brain, lights up the occult chambers of the heart, its spear point ictus of discovery. Pressed on the carbon of name, the screen of form strips bare the secret soul of all that is. Thought that has revelation's bright eyes, the world, a mighty and inspiring voice, enters truth's inmost cabin of privacy and tears away the veil from God and life.
Thank you. Claude.
Then stretches the boundless, finest, last extent. The cosmic empire of yoga mind us. Time of a state bordering eternity. Too vast for the experience of man's soul. All here gathers beneath one golden sky. The power that built the cosmos station take in its house of infinite possibility. Each god from there built his own nature's world. Ideas are phalanx like a group of suns, each marshalling company of phrase of phrase. Thought parts and masses says by one regards. All time is one body, space a single look. There is the Godhead universal gaze, and there the boundaries of immortal mind. The line that parts and joins the hemisphere closes in on the labor of the God, fencing eternity from the toil of time.
Thank you. Stretchko.
Inherit glorious kingdom for eternal life, are over ruled by none the true supreme. One fountain, only silent and alone, in our golden country keeps her masterless out. It is continued the head, the three, the of body, unanticipated never to return. Till the unknown is known and seen the man. Along the bridge and blade of body, allow the silence of the wooden truth. Formless creators of immortal form, manners investors with the name divine, transcending time force, transcending time and process. The mixing mother seed of loss and calm and hold the eternal child upon her knees, amending the days when we shall speak to faith.
Thank you. Ganga Lakshmi.
There is an image of our future home. There is a sun from which all darkness fades. There is an imperishable harmony. The world's contradictions cling to earth and are broken. There is a truth of which the world's truths are spread. The light of which the world yearns the shade. Till true gold guard the shade that is the cast. The love of our hearts call down the hill for a strike. The bliss for which the world their relict sorrow yearns. And thanks come the glory sometimes seen on earth, the visits of Godhead to the human soul, the beauty and the dream of nature's face.
Thank you. Alice?
There the perfection born from eternity calls to it the perfection born time. The fruit, the truth of God, surprising human life, the image of God overtaking finite shapes. There in the world, everlasting light, in the realms of the immortal supernova. Truth divides here her head in mystery, her riddle deemed by reason impossible. In the stark structure of material form. Unenigmat lives. Unmasked her face, and there is nature and the common law of things. There in a body made of spirit stuff. The earth stone of the ever-living fire. Action translates the movements of the soul. Thought steps infallible and absolute. And life is a continual worship's rite, a sacrifice and rapture to the one. A cosmic vision, a spiritual sense, feels all the infinite lodged in finite form, and seen through a quivering ecstasy of light, discovers the bright face of the bodiless. In the truth of a moment, in the moment's soul, can sit the honey wine of eternity. A spirit who is no one and innumerable, the one mystic infinite person of his world multiplies his myriad personality. On all his bodies seals his divinity's stamp and sits in each immortal and unique.
Thank you. Will you read?
Change on the immutable, deathless pose. The timeless looks out from the traveling hours. The immutable puts on a robe of speech, where all its words are woven like magic threads, moving with beauty, inspiring with a meaning, and every thought takes up its distinct place. Recorded in the mirror, the true supreme, vast and impersonal, fits faultlessly. Our and circumstance. Its substance, the pure gold, every shaped into vessels for the Spirit's use. Its gold became the wine jar in the vase. All there is a supreme epiphany. The all wonderful makes a marvel of each image. The whole beautiful is a miracle of each shape. The whole blissful smites with raptures and heart throbs. The pure celestial joy is the use of sense. Each being there is a member of the self, a portion of the million, thought of the whole, a claimant of timeless unity. The many sweetness, joy of difference, edge with the intimacy of the
life. Thank you. So we just pause there a moment to say that from the top of page 661, line 716, up to this point, 795, this is one of Sri Aurobindo's descriptions in the poem of the world of supermind, the supramental world. I think there are three or four places where he describes it. This is one of them. In her glorious kingdom of eternal light. Yes. We can say that the supramental world is the truth world. Till where we stopped, 795. We can go on from there. Would you read?
But who can show to thee truth's glorious face? Our human words can only shadow her. To thought she is an unthinkable rapture of light. To speech a marvel inexpressible. O death, if thou couldst touch the truths of doom, thou wouldst grow suddenly wise and cease to be. If our souls could see through thou would clasp God's truth, its infinite radiance would seize our hearts, our being in God's image would be made, and earthly life become to the light of
death. Thank you.
Then death, the last line, answers that if truth's whispering transcends the shadow here, subdued by knowledge and lying past, what bridge can cross the gulf that she has made between her and the dream world she has made? Or who could hope to bring her down and end and persuade the thread? Harsh grove with blundered feet, leaving her unapproachable glory is wasting her splendor on pale earthly air. In vain that strength, O beauty of mortal limbs, O soul who flutterest to escape my net. Who then art thou, kindly human life? Thy voice carries the sound of infant. Knowledge is with thee. Truth speak through thy word. The light of things beyond shines in thy eyes. But with thy strength conquer time and death. Hast thou God's force to build heaven's values to thee? For truth and knowledge are an idle dream. If knowledge wins not power to change the world, if might comes not to give to truth her right, a blind force, not truth, has made this ignorant world. A blind force, not truth, orders the lives of men. By power, not light,
great gods rule and rule the world. Power is the arm of God, the seal of faith. All human claimant to immortality, reveal thy power, lay bare thy spirit's force. Then will I give back to thee Saturn. Or if the mighty mother is with thee, show me her face that I may worship her. Let deathless eyes look into the eyes of death. An imperishable force touching rude things. Transform earth's death into immortal life. Then can thy death return to thee and life. Return to thy and live. The prostrate earth perhaps shall lift her gaze and feel near her the secret body of God, and love and joy overtake fleeting.
Thank you. So there's another 3 pages. Shall we go on? Yes.
And Savitri looked on death and answered not. Almost it seemed as if in a symbol shape the world's darkness had consented to heaven's light, and God needed no more the inconscient stream. A mighty transformation came on her. A halo of the indwelling deity, the immortal's luster that had lit her face and tinted its radiance in her body's house. Overflowing made the air a luminous sea. In a flaming moment of
apocalypse.
The incarnation thrust aside its veil, a little figure in infinity, yet stood and seemed the eternal's very house, as if the world's center was her very soul, and all wide space was but its outer robe. A curve of the calm.
Hooter
of far heaven, descending into earth's humidity. Her forehead span altered the omniscient gaze. Her eyes were 2 stars that watched the universe.
Thank you. I think we'll come back to this side. These people on the front didn't read yet. You start, Patty.
Power that from her being summoned rain, the presence chambered in lotus secrecy, came down and held the center in her brow, where the mind's lord in his control room sits, there throned on concentration's native seat. He opens that third mysterious eye in man, the unseen's eye that looks at the unseen. When light with a golden ecstasy fills his brain, and the eternal's wisdom drives his choice, and eternal will seizes the mortal's will. It stirred in the lotus of her throat of song, and in her speech throbbed the immortal word. Her life sounded with the steps of the world soul, moving in harmony with the cosmic thought. As glides God's Son into the mystic cave, where hides his light from the pursuing gods, it glided into the lotus of her heart and woke in it the force that alters fate.
Thank you. Amitoj.
It poured into her navel's lotus depth, lodged in the little life nature's narrow home. On the body's longings grew heaven's rapturous flower, and made desire a pure celestial flame. Broke into the caves where coiled world inert energy sleeps, and smote the thousand-hooded serpent force that blazing towered and clasped the world self above, joined matter's dumbness to the spirit's hush, and filled earth's acts with the spirit's silent power. Thus changed, she waited for the world to speak. Eternity looked into the eyes of death, and darkness saw God's living reality. Then a voice was heard that seemed to stillness said, or the low, calm utterance of infinity. When it speaks to the silence in the heart of sleep.
Thank you.
Regale me, almighty and victorious death, thou vanquished darkness of the infinite, O void that makest room for all to be, hunger that must have the universe, consuming the cold remnants of the suns, and eatest the whole world with thy jaws of fire, waster of energy that has made the stars, inconscience, carrier of the seeds of thought, essence in which all knowledge sleeps enthroned and slowly emerges in its hollow crest, wearing the mind's mask of bright ignorance. Thou art my shadow and my instrument. I have given thee thy awful shape of dread and thy sharp sword of terror and grief and pain to force the soul of man to struggle for life on the brevity of his half-conscious days. Thou art his spur to greatness in his works, the whip to his yearning for eternal bliss, his poignant need of immortality. Live, death, a while, be still my instrument. One day man too shall know that fathomless heart of silence and including peace of night and grave obedience to eternal law, and the calm, inflexible pity in thy gaze. But now, O timeless mightiness, stand aside and leave the path of my incarnate force. Relieve the radiant God from thy black mask. Release the soul of the world called Satsarai, freed from thy clutch of pain and ignorance, that he may stand master of life and faith. Man's representative in the house of God, the maid of wisdom and the spouse of light, eternal bridegroom of the eternal bride.
Thank you.
She spoke, death unconvinced, resisted still. Although he knew refusing still to know, although he saw refusing still to see, unshakable he stood, claiming his right. His spirit bowed, his will obeyed the law of its own nature, binding even ungods. The two opposed each other face to face. His being, like a huge fort of darkness, towered. Around it, her light grew, an ocean's sea. A while, the shade survived the defying heaven, a sailing in front. Oppressing from above, a concrete mass of conscious power, he bore the tyranny of her divine desire. A pressure of intolerable force weighed on his unbowed head and stubborn breast, like a burning tongue licked up his thoughts. Life was a luminous torture in his heart. Light caused a splendid agony through his nerves. His darkness muttered, perishing in her blaze.
Thank you. Bom.
Her mastering word commanded every room, and left no room for either enormous fear, that seemed pushed out into some helpless tent, and could no one enter but left him for. He called
called to help, but
sullenly.
Sullenly, yet retired. He turned to the inconscient from which he was born. It was sustained itself. It drew him back towards boundless vacancy, as if by himself, to swallow up himself. He called to his strength, but it refused his call. His body was eaten by life. His spirit evolved. At last, he knew defeat inevitable and left crumbling the shell that he had worn. Abandoning hope to make man show his prey and forced to be mortal the immortal skin. Afar he fled, shunning her dragging touch, and refuge took in the dripping night.
Thank you. Anandi, you will finish.
Thank you. In the dream twilight, thy seeming world, the dire universal shadow disappeared, vanishing into the void from which it came. As if deprived of its original call, the twilight realm passed, fading from their souls, and Satyavana and Savitri were alone. But neither still between those tedious walls, mute, invisible, and translucent world, in the long black moments forth, nothing could move, all waited on the unknown, inscrutable will. Mm.
So that's a good place to stop for today. So next time, what are we going to do?
6:51. But Savitri will fly to the huge god. There we stop. Down.
Okay, so that's where we start studying next week, sentence by sentence.
6:51.
We'll find it next time. So it's quite powerful, isn't it? So we can listen to Mother reading these lines.
But Savitri answered to the sophist god, "If the chamber's door is even a little ajar, what then can hinder God from stealing in? Or who forbid his kiss on the sleeping soul? Already God is near, the truth is close. A lonely freedom cannot satisfy a heart that has grown one with every heart. I am a deputy of the aspiring world. My spirit's liberty I ask for hold. Then rang again a deeper cry of death. Mighty art thou, with the dread goddess filled, to whom thou criest at dawn in the dim wood. Use not thy strength like the wild titan soul. Touch not the seated line, the ancient law, restrict the calm of great establishing. But Savitri replied to the huge God, what is the calm thou vouchest, O Lord, O death? I trample on thy law with living feet, for to rise in freedom I was born. Death replied to her, why should the noble and immortal will stoop to the petty works of transient earth? Freedom forgotten and the eternal spark. She answered, strange, I trample on the bone, the strong hand huge for me, which planned our past. Freedom in this with ever-seated soul. Lord in life's limits, strong in matter, not building great stuff of action from the world to make fine wisdom from coarse scattered strands, and love and beauty out of war and night. The wager wonderful, the game divine.
Thanks to Sherpendor.